For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Welcome, listeners, to the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro. We both try to bring you a wide variety of really good information all about you and your health. The show is streamlined through MyVillageGreen.com. That's MyVillageGreen.com. And do visit Village Green at the site or the store on Cedar Lane. You get expert advice in both places. Village Green is your resource for questions about your health. They carry superior supplements from many manufacturers. And please do take a look at Village Green's own Pathway products. Now, this is a reminder that we're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and you can tune in next Sunday for Kevin's discussion on food-based supplements. A reminder that the Autism Research Institute Vegas Conference is in October from the 13th to the 16th. It's for parents and practitioners. It includes general sessions, science sessions, and practitioner continuing education seminars. Many of you have listened before and know that one of my specialties is autism, and I'm a lecturer and educator for the Autism Research Institute. If you have an interest, you can go on www.ariconference.com. That's ariconference.com. Now, today, we're very lucky to have Caroline Adams-Miller with us. She's an author, a speaker, and a professional coach with a very interesting, fascinating background. And she's written a recent book called Creating Your Best Life. So we're going to talk to Caroline about why she wrote the book, and we've got a lot of good ideas. As those of you who are listening know, I like you to come away from this show with a lot of information that you can start using immediately. And some of it's pretty simple. We don't have to do a lot of work. So I think today you're going to love the tidbits and tips that you get on creating your best life. So welcome to the show, Caroline.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about why you wrote the book and a little bit of background on yourself.
Okay. I wrote the book because I felt like the world deserved a better goal-setting book than was previously published. And I came to this eureka moment when I was getting a master's degree a few years ago at the University of Pennsylvania in this brand-new cutting-edge science, and it's the science of happiness. And the degree is on the front of the book. It says MAPP, M-A-P-P, Master's in Applied Positive Psychology. And what that means is it's the science of well-being, the science of emotional flourishing. I was introduced to this concept of emotional flourishing as it connects with getting things done. And I put it all together and made my capstone project the first time anyone's ever connected the science of well-being with the science of goal accomplishment. And what was amazing to me is whenever I went into a bookstore, because it is my fifth book, I would always look around in the self-help section, you know, what's here for goal setting, because coaches set goals with clients. And every book on the market had no evidence in it, no research, no facts, no footnotes, no nothing. And, of course, being schooled at Penn in an evidence-based science, I said, why isn't any accuracy being brought to the field of goal setting? Everyone sets goals, but it was actually a lot of urban legends and anecdotes. So I put it all together. There are a lot of footnotes in the book, but it's a very readable book. It's gotten an enormous amount of international attention, and it's really considered the first of its kind, because if you pick up this book, it is a soup-to-nuts guide on how to set the right goals, pursue them, and achieve them with the understanding of why happiness matters so much.
That's an excellent introduction and summary, and it just whets our appetite for a little more information. Give us background on happiness.
Happiness. Well, for centuries, people have been pursuing the idea of happiness. What is a well-lived life? What is a high-quality life? The Greeks called it eudaimonia. And as our, in this country, as our national income has continued to rise and we've had more and more possessions, the problem is that we have this epidemic of depression that has outpaced our accumulation of wealth, and they're seeing this all over the world. So what we have now is a real study of how do you improve people's flourishing. And so the reason why this Master's in Applied Positive Psychology exists is because we're now finding that you can change people's set point. We are wired for a set point. Half of our daily happiness is what, you know, we inherited from our forebears. However, the other half of this happiness equation is that what we think about and what we do actually changes the course of our lives and puts us into this flourishing state. And once you're there, once you're over this tipping point of three positives to one negative every day, everything changes in your life. And there's this pivotal piece of research called Benefits of Frequent Positive Affect. I'd never seen it before, but it rocked my world. And basically what it said is all success is due to being happy first. People do not get happy from being successful. It's absolutely the other way around. For that reason, you can't really set and accomplish any goals without first taking your emotional temperature and understanding what positive interventions, again, research-based, exist to change people's well-being. They exist. I don't know why there isn't more attention brought to this topic, but I think some of these solutions have been in academia, just no one really translated them for the mass market.
I like what you said about happiness leads to success. Success does not lead to happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also heard in the past that if you have a good employee,
mm-hmm.
You want to reward them so that they are getting what they need in order to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a poor employee, paying them more will not make a difference.
No. The happiest employees are the most engaged employees, and this is a huge problem in the workforce, and Gallup has great research on this, as do other people. And this is one of the biggest problems in the American workforce, is that people are not using their innate strengths. They're not even being identified to do their job. So the best managers, when you go across the world and you figure out, you know, who's got the best worker core, people who are productive and successful and happy on the job, you find that they are using their strengths on a daily basis to accomplish their goals. So unhappy people in the workplace tend to be managed by people who don't, you know, care about them as people. They don't know what their strengths are. There's no passionate curiosity about, you know, what can you do to kind of improve the way things are done around here. And so, you know, you do need to have a happy workforce. And happy is a little Pollyanna. I don't want to just say happy over and over. It's about being content, being in a state of flow, actually having challenges put in front of you that are interesting and that you can use your strengths to pursue and accomplish. People want to be challenged on the job. And when they're not, and when they're just rewarded for productivity, because this isn't what people necessarily want. There's great research on this, on how you don't just pay people for performance. That's not how it works. You want to create a state of worker engagement, which then creates well-being. You go over the tipping point of 3 to 1, and then there's more curiosity, there's more hope, you know, there's better outcomes, there's better return on investment. The list goes on and on, and that's just in the workplace. We haven't even talked about what goes on in people's personal lives.
Yeah, well, the workplace studies have been fascinating. Do you think the workplace is changing because of what we know now?
Yes. There's no question. The world has turned upside down since the late 1990s when it comes to studying how to be better at things. And this is directly because of my mentor, Marty Seligman, who in 1998, as the president of the American Psychological Association, stood up and said, we have failed people, totally failed people. All we've done is study what's wrong. We've studied human misery. When you look at the research, 17 times more research existed on human misery and depression and things that were bad. And he said, what we need to do is study what's right when people are at their best, when society's at its best, when companies are at their best. What are the strengths? How can we amplify those strengths? So this is now being seen in a form of consulting called appreciative inquiry, for example. You go into a company and you interview people and you say, when you are doing your best job, when your workers are doing their best jobs, what are the qualities that you see? What are the, you know, interactions that exist? So It's changed the nature of hospitals. It's changed the nature of education. Positive psychology is now infiltrating the educational system. It's infiltrating law schools. It's infiltrating the field of coaching. It's infiltrating positive psychology. The field of psychology. Everything is turned upside down, and what we're looking at now, instead of what's wrong, is what's right.
And that translates down to how we relate to children, because in that length of time you're talking about,
right,
that's when the new parenting styles find what the child is doing right, reinforce,
right,
comment on what's right. I do think some people got carried away with not ever saying the word "no" or "don't."
Can I comment on that? Because I have a whole chapter in the book on this, and it's the quality of grit. And we have this whole kind of generation, the new millennials, who grew up with the self-esteem movement, and they were told that they were great, and they didn't even have to do anything. They were just given trophies, and they were told they were winners. And frankly, that's not the way it works. And what it created, when you look at the outcome of this self-esteem movement, what you find is it only created narcissists and sociopaths. It did not create a gritty generation, people who are finishers and people who know how to set and accomplish goals. I saw this at my children's elementary school locally, where they stripped out every form of competition, from the fun run, you name it, because people were complaining that their children weren't winning. Well, that's life. There are people who are better than you at things, and they're worse at. You've got to learn to deal with it. So I have this whole chapter on this quality of grit that is being studied at the University of Pennsylvania, and it's this passionate pursuit of goals over a long period of time, the ability to keep getting up when you've been knocked down, and this quality of grit, and you can go online and take a free test to see what your own grit score is. This quality of grit now bests all variables in terms of who drops out at West Point, who finals in the National Spelling Bee, who finishes at Teach for America. You have to be a finisher in life, and unfortunately, we don't necessarily have a gritty generation. And I think a lot of the parents don't finish what they start.
And that's the role model there. I like the term weeble wobbles. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
I like that.
And I use it a lot in identifying that characteristic, the resilience gene. It isn't how many times you fall. It's what you do when you get back up.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk more about this, and I hope, listeners, you're enjoying what we're saying, and we'll recap some of what we've said and go forward with a lot more information. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to The Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us, listeners. We will be right back after this break with more good information from Caroline Adams Miller.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. NeuroOptimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. NeuroOptimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back to the second segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM. The show is brought to you by Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro, and we bring you lots of good information all about you and your health. This is a reminder that you're tuned in this Sunday morning, but we are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And you can also tune in through MyVillageGreen.com. And you can find some of our favorite shows, which have been posted on MyVillageGreen.com. You can also find out what's coming up on the shows. Now, today's guest is Caroline Adams Miller, and she's an author, speaker, and professional coach. And we're talking about her book, Creating Your Best Life, but we're also talking about not just the book, but broader concepts. And what Caroline has talked about is this issue of self-regulation and parenting. We've been talking about all the feel-good changes that have occurred in business and in relationships, the positive way of speaking, but let's deal with self-regulation.
Well, if you happen to buy a goal-setting book that doesn't include some discussion of self-regulation, throw it away immediately, because this is the muscle of goal accomplishment, and that's why I made it chapter 6. First, you have to, you know, take your emotional temperature. You have to start in a flourishing place. You have to set the right goals, and there's a whole science to goal setting. But above and beyond that, you have to have self-regulation, which is basically just the ability to delay gratification, the ability to wait, the ability to not act impulsively. And as I said in the previous segment, we have a whole generation of kids who grew up not being told that, you know, they were anything other than winners. A lot of them haven't waited. They haven't worked hard to get the things they want. And the people who are really the authorities on this topic, like Roy Baumeister at Florida State University, they basically trace a lot of the things that are going wrong in society to this incredible dip in people's ability to self-regulate. When you study character traits, generally among Americans, and there are 24 character traits that are universally admired in all cultures, self-regulation is usually 23 or 24, and you can't have it there if you're going to set and accomplish hard goals. So there are a variety of ways to bring up your willpower. One is to set small goals and to have mastery experiences, to begin to see the benefits of working towards something hard. You also want to be around people who self-regulate. They've found that even just watching other people delay gratification improves your own muscle of willpower. Now, Roy Baumeister's most interesting work, at least to me, in the last few years, is he's discovered that we wake up every single day with a finite store of willpower. It's like a muscle, and it gets depleted throughout the day. And it gets depleted depending on how often you call upon it to make hard decisions, to say no to yourself, to not yell at your boss, to not scream at your children, to not spend all your money on eBay. And so the more you call upon willpower throughout the day, the less you have as the day goes on. Which is why you also always want to start with your hardest goals first thing in the morning, because that's when willpower is at its absolute highest. So there are a few things that actually take willpower down to zero above and beyond calling upon it constantly. And one is alcohol. Alcohol is the enemy of all goal accomplishment. And he said that no matter what your goal is, alcohol has been found in study after study after study after study to destroy self-regulation. You know, so it's really not your best friend if you're working towards a variety of goals. But interestingly, what he found is there are a few ways to replenish it during the day. Let's say it's depleted. You know it, and you want to go train for that triathlon after work. It's your only time to train for it. A couple ways bring it back. One is 1 teaspoon of sugar, glucose. because the brain uses energy to make all these decisions. There was a fascinating article in the New York Times on decision fatigue last week. So interesting, and it talked about the science of making decisions about who gets probation and who doesn't, who gets paroled. And the longer these judges make these decisions all day, the less and less likely they are to make a decisive decision. They'll table it. But they found that immediately after lunch, they started making hard decisions again. But there's other research, too, showing that it's really 1 teaspoon of sugar. Another way to bring it back is to raise your mood. So they find that people who stop and watch YouTube videos that are funny, who spend some time with someone who lifts their spirits as opposed to, as they say in the positive psychology world, takes away from your bucket instead of filling it up. These people who can fill up your bucket actually bring your self-regulation back. So if you know the science, if you know the science behind self-regulation, you can begin to monitor yourself more effectively. And this is the classic reason why New Year's resolutions often fail, is because people set too many self-regulation goals at once. It's just a classic mistake. You pick one, because the research shows, and I cover this in my book, the research shows that if you pick one and you put a flag in the ground, you say, I am going to lift weights for 6 to 8 weeks, or I am going to monitor my spending. 6 to 8 weeks later, all of your other self-regulation behaviors have improved. And Roy Baumeister, I interviewed him on the phone for my book. He was saying this is why the Jesuit schools work so well, is they work on self-regulation goals like sit up straight, you know, use, you know, correct spelling, correct cursive. You know, little things around behavior change actually have this long-term impact on self-regulation in other areas. So that's my feelings on self-regulation.
It's interesting because we see a lot of problems in society because of the lack of self-regulation. Mm-hmm. Is it because we got permissive that anything goes and the child can be fully directive as mm-hmm. to what they're going to do or mm-hmm. not do?
Well, there's so many speculative theories about why self-regulation has gone down kind of en masse among people. And one of the things they have found, which is so interesting, is that taking away play in the schools and limiting the amount of time that they spend in imaginary play has helped them lose this quality. So, for example, I quote this in the book, children who could hold a pose in freeze tag in the 1960s, on average, held the pose for 7 seconds. You know, skip forward 30 to 40 years later, it's 3 seconds. So play, the ability to entertain yourself in your mind, has been found to actually improve self-regulation. I mean, go figure, who would have thought? But we're also a generation that wants lunchtime lifts, Botox, you know, gastric, you know, bypass surgery. Everything needs to be faster and quicker, and you shouldn't pay a price. And I really do fault this whole idea of the secret and the law of attraction, the law of abundance, and all this, to me at least, a little bit magical thinking, because the fault with that book, even though a lot of people want to buy it, people do buy it, is it leaves out the whole idea of hard work and self-regulation. You know, the Mustang's going to appear in the driveway simply because you wrote it in red lipstick on your mirror and just imagined that it was going to be there. And it leaves out this entire area where you actually have to set hard goals and have grit and go after it. And at the end of the day, what's so interesting, there's this research out at the University of San Francisco, and it's called the No Pain, No Gain Research. They find at the end of the day, whether we know it or not, we're scanning our days for the highlights, the things that we're proud of. And inevitably, the things we're proudest of at the end of the day were the things that were out of our comfort zone and the things that we did that we may not have even enjoyed while we were doing them. So your children were competitive swimmers. At least one of my children is a competitive swimmer. I'm a competitive swimmer. And I know that when that alarm goes off at 4:20 in the morning, I know that it's just not going to be a barrel of fun to go put on a bathing suit and go, it's going to be hard. And there's, you know, my heart will be pounding, I'll be tired. At the end of the day, whether I was a rower or a swimmer or whatever I was that day, those are some of the moments I'm proudest of. And people are not doing that to the extent they used to. People are not pushing themselves out of their comfort zone. So they don't self-regulate, they don't set hard goals, they just want everything to be easy. And that's just not the way it works in the world.
That's fascinating, pushing out of your comfort zone, because I think back and I identify some really challenging challenging activities, and I'm glad that I did it. Some of them I don't necessarily want to do again, but I'm glad that I mm-hmm. had the opportunity mm-hmm. and that I did it. So you make a lot of sense with that. And mm-hmm. I, and humans, need that edge. They need to be a little on the edge. It makes life interesting.
But
that's why we're here.
Well, that's why you and I are here. I think we're both self-identified as people who push the envelope. The problem is 80% of people in the world meet the definition for languishing. They're not pushing the envelope. They're not setting challenging and specific goals. They're setting either no goals or low-hanging fruit goals, low goals. And this is study. This is goal-setting theory. This is a rock-solid finding, so I'm not making this up. So 80% of people are not doing that, and they're not working hard. I have a chapter in the book on risk and regret. There's fantastic research on risks and the regrets you have as you age about the risks you didn't take.
Mm-hmm.
Because short-term, you regret risks that don't work out. Long-term, there's this tipping point between 3 and 7 years. Long-term, we regret more what we didn't attempt. So you don't want to be one of these people as you look back on your life and you say, coulda, woulda, shoulda. Go for it now. Go out of your comfort zone. But here's this interesting piece I'd love to spend some time on. The quality of your friendships makes a massive difference in whether or not you're going to be successful in life. And people have to look at this, and I think I was one of the first people, I am the first person, to pull together not just the research on the science of goal setting and how to do it and what are the right goals and the self-regulation, the importance of flourishing, but there's the petri dish, you know, that you live and work in. You know, who's around you? Social contagion theory predicts you become who you spend time with. And it's true. And so people who want to change their lives, who want to either lose weight, quit smoking, begin an exercise program, you know, develop a deeper spiritual connection, whatever it is, if you are surrounded by people who don't share that ethos, that value, chances are you're not going to get where you want to go.
You know, that's so important. And it even goes more deeply than that. When you are surround the people that you surround yourself with, it's been said, you know, don't hang out with overweight people, you'll become overweight. We actually exchange much more. Fear gnomes that we produce affect each other, but we also culture each other.
Mm-hmm.
The cultures that we have of the bacteria on our bodies, we culture based on what we're exposed to. There's 10 trillion human cells, 100 trillion bug cells. So we're one part human and 10 part bug. And that's been a relatively new focus, at least in the United States, not in Europe. They've looked at probiotics and cultures for years. But here we're seeing at the micro and macro level who we surround ourselves with,
yeah,
what we absorb. So we'll talk more about this in the next segment. And if you've just tuned in, folks, you're listening to The Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We will be right back after this break with more information on creating your best life.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Get the one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new CogniSure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in CogniSure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. CogniSure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and CogniSure. Remember CogniSure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back to the third segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro, and you can tune in next Sunday at 10 a.m. for Kevin's discussion on food-based supplements. Now, today's guest is Caroline Adams Miller, and she's an author, speaker, and professional coach. We've been talking to her about her wonderful book, Creating Your Best Life, and I think you'll find that a very interesting book. I also wanted to give you the website, which is creatingyourbestlifelist.com. And if you just Google it, as we say, you'll find it right away. Lots of interesting information. We were talking about how important it is to have good friends mm-hmm. that fill up your bucket, mm-hmm. people, as opposed to mm-hmm. people who take away from your bucket. So, or mm-hmm. I used to say, take away your energy. Mm-hmm. Who do you want to give all that energy
right.
to,
mm-hmm.
even though it might, you know, it might not be helpful? You
right.
give. So talk to us more about the social contagion.
Oh, issues. Boy. Okay, it's such a great new topic. Christakis and Fowler are the ones who really parsed the Framingham Heart Study data and came up with this really new finding, which is that, you know, behaviors become contagious because they become the norm in a social group. So if suddenly people are obese, and let's say the people you value, who you spend time with, cousins, coworkers, friends, spouses, whatever it is, those people end up being the norm. So suddenly it's not so bad to be overweight, or it's not so bad to be a smoker. You know, we've all heard birds of a feather flock together. It's actually true. So if you are endeavoring to make a massive change in your life that's going to involve behavior change, a different way of thinking, different kind of activity, then you will have to take a look first at your social circle, because it will predict a piece of whether or not it's harder. Now, I was saying that relationships have been found to be one of the bedrock findings in positive psychology. It is the quality of your relationships with other people that often dictates your well-being. And there's a tipping point, which is 4. People who have 4 good friends, and you can, you know, do a shorthand definition, which is people you can wake up in the middle of the night who don't care, who really have your best interests at heart. And it might be a family member. It might be a family member. It might not be. But you really want to nurture relationships, because at the end of the day, it's the interactions with other people that end up being experiences that appreciate over time. Things depreciate immediately, but friendships and outings with others are really what we value over time, and that's the social currency as we get older. And there's this wonderful theory called broaden and build. We don't have time to go into it, but a landmark finding, again, on the importance of social relationships. What I want to say is not everyone should know what your goals are. You need to pick very carefully the people you share your goals with, because there are 4 ways to respond to someone else's goals or good news or whatever. And there's only one way that actually allows you to continue in your goal pursuit and to feel good about it, and it's called active constructive responding. And so if someone were to come to me and say, I just rode my first race, and you know, we were last place, but we did really well. The only correct way to respond is with curiosity and enthusiasm. Every other kind of response, which are called passive destructive, active destructive, and passive constructive, all have the ability to stop people dead in their tracks and stop enjoying and savoring what they've accomplished. And they may dead end right there with that goal. So it's almost like a sapling. It's a tree that you plant that has very shallow roots. And you should only have people around you, and not everyone should make the cut. People need to be a little bit more ruthless about who makes the cut, who's in their lives. You need to only have active, constructive responders. So I formed a mastermind group with a friend of mine locally, and we meet every single month. Our next meeting is this weekend, Sunday. And we get together, and we share our goals, how we're doing, our challenges, and we ask for support and ideas. And it's all constructive. That's all we focus on. And I knew I needed it because I knew the research, and it really has paid off in spades. People say to me all the time, what do I do about my mother or my sister or my cousin or my sister-in-law? I can't really cut them out of my lives, but they really are always undermining me and making fun of me. I wish I had a dollar for everybody who said their mother was their biggest detractor, because I think that happens more than people want to admit. You have to have boundaries. This is why caller ID exists. I mean, this is why all kinds of things exist for you to have boundaries. So it's really up to us to create a social environment that is nothing but positive. And I'm very rabid about this. I mean, you don't make the cut to be in my life unless you meet those standards, because I know how important it is on a daily basis to be over this 3-to-1 ratio. And I bring it to other people, and they need to bring it back to me.
That's very interesting, and you've used the term tipping point quite often. I use it a lot. It applies to economics, politics, environment, diet, health. I use it a lot as far as like the straws on a camel's back, the things that are not healthy for us that tip us into the unhealthy direction and the challenges of getting back. So the tipping point is a really good visual.
Let me just say it's a mathematical ratio that's been proven across all kinds of studies. The Love Lab out at the University of Washington with John Gottman and his wife, work teams, Marcel Lozada down in South America, pretty much everywhere this has been studied, it's very, very interesting. It's called the positivity ratio. When you study couples or individuals or work teams from behind one-way mirrors, one of the things you find is that the highest performing, the best, happiest work teams, marriages, whatever, and they can predict divorce with 92% accuracy, are at about 5 positive interactions or comments to 1 negative. And if 3-to-1 is the tipping point, if you're under 3, you're in this state of languishing. And you basically find you go into a downward spiral, and negativity builds on negativity. And the next thing you know, everyone's criticizing everyone else in a room. So when you're over 3-to-1, what they find is it becomes this upward spiral of well-being. People become more hopeful, more zestful. They have a different kind of thinking called pathways thinking. Everything improves. So this is something we actually have in our control. So when we go back to the happiness equation, half of your happiness is due to what you think about and what you do every day. You have control over how many positives you bring into your day and how many negatives you either neutralize or eliminate from your life. So you want it ideally 5 or 6-to-1. Better be over 3-to-1 or you're going to be in trouble.
It's nice to have something concrete to look at and say, you might have a sense that what's going on in this conversation? Why is it always going toward the negative? You know, and when you say it that way, it really makes it easier to identify. I like that.
I was working with a lawyer last year, and I have dozens of clients around the world I work with to teach goal setting principles, and I was talking to her about the positivity ratio, and she said, my gosh, Caroline, if you add up the negative things that I hear in the hallways of this law firm, in the emails I get, the gossiping that goes on, I'll bet we are so below 1-to-1 that no one's going to do well here. So she took it upon herself to change, you know, what was going on in the bubble. She was the head of a department in this law firm. But you can actually calculate it, and everyone should. They should thin slice their day and see, what kind of email was that? What kind of phone conversation? Oh, what happened downstairs when I was, you know, interacting with the mailman or whatever? So people can get a sense of whether or not they're languishing or flourishing within one day.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. And there was an old theory about choosing your people, and it was interesting. It seemed to apply more to the workplace, but it really had a broader application, that if you're interviewing 2 people for a job and you need somebody who's a bookkeeper and you've got someone who's brilliant, but they're a downside person, They will bring your company down, that their expertise will not be worth it. Mm-hmm. But you can find someone else who might have average. Mm-hmm. They can take more courses, but they're up, they're positive, they're motivated. Mm-hmm. They bring your organization up. And whether we're talking about organizations, families, friendships, groups, church groups, skiing groups,
right,
swimming groups.
Rowing, you know, the boat, the quality, the chemistry in a boat. My daughter rows for Brown University. They won the NCAAs this year.
Excellent.
Yay! But it's the chemistry in the boat, too. If you have one negative person in a boat, I can't tell you how impactful that is on the boat. You know, emotions as they go into a race situation or whatever. So it really becomes this important quality you have to take a look at once you're aware of it. Now, there are some interesting findings on the workplace and people called positive energizers. And what they've done, and this is out of the University of Michigan, the Positive Organizational Scholarship School, their business school. One of the things they found is you can go into companies and map out energy hubs. And they can identify people at the center of the energy hub. And they find that these are the people who help other people feel motivated and confident and successful and hopeful and pick them up when they're down. And it doesn't matter what the job is, but they find that your proximity to the positive energizer, how close you are to this person in a company, predicts your success in that company far above where you are in the influence or the information network of that company. That's how important it is. And they see it on basketball courts. You know, Shane Battier, Houston Rockets, when he's on the court, everyone plays better. It's called the plus-minus factor. So you see this quality, whether you call it positive energizers, the plus-minus factor, whatever it is, you need those people in your life because they make you better for being in their presence. And let me just add, we have to do it for other people. It's not enough to just take the energy from other people. We have to know how to generate it and be that positive force for others.
So we get a synergism.
Absolutely, a contagion, but also we teach people how to treat us.
Mm-hmm. I love that saying.
Yeah.
Repeat it.
Oh, we teach people how to treat us.
That's right. And although I'm a nutritionist and counsel people on nutrition, we certainly do get in to some of these issues.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people say, but my husband won't let me do that. My husband won't let me do this. And we really, I ask them to step back and repeat and listen to what they're saying, particularly in the freest country in the history of the world, the freest time for women. It's unusual to hear that. And mm-hmm. then there's all the excuses of why they can't move into a positive direction. So your philosophy is wonderful, and you really put it across very well. If you've tuned in, folks, you're listening to The Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM, and we're having a wonderful discussion with Caroline Adams Miller. We're talking about Creating Your Best Life, which is the name of her book, and I want to give you that website. It's creatingyourbestlifelist.com. You can certainly Google her name or any, you know, part of the name of the book, and you'll find it. Lots of good information in that book. And when we come back after the break, we'll have some more tips, some more information, and I think you're going to come away from this show happier, more content, and knowing how to achieve that.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow-affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals. Committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Did you get enough lutein today to support eye health? Most Americans consume only 2 milligrams per day, yet populations with good eye health often consume 6 to 20 milligrams to protect the macula of the eye against oxidative stress and aging. Vision Optimizer from Gero Formulas supplies lutein, zeaxanthin, and 13 other vitamins, phytonutrients, and herbs that support eye health and function, reduce eye fatigue, and promote eye comfort. For more information, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team of 50 includes pharmacists, nutritionists, a clinical herbalist, and a naturopath offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back to today's final segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. And I'm Dana Lake. I've been hosting this show today, and I do alternate with Dr. Kevin Passaro, trying to bring you a wide variety of information all about you and your health. It's a reminder that every Sunday morning we're here, 10 a.m., and next Sunday, Kevin will be discussing food-based supplements, so do tune in. Today's guest is Caroline Adams-Miller, and we've been having a fascinating discussion that I wish we had 5 hours to continue on. She's author, a speaker, and a professional coach. We've been talking about her book, Creating Your Best Life, and you can go on the site. It's creatingyourbestlifelist.com by Caroline Adams Miller. So we have covered a lot about the positivity movement. Summarize a little bit, please, Caroline, of what we've covered for those who may have just tuned in. And then let's talk about the overall lifestyle, that importance in, and happiness and success and positivity, and the qualities of the happiest people.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Well, just to summarize, if I can remember where we started, I think we were talking about why did I write this book and what's the uniqueness of the book. And it really is the first book to identify how the science of happiness intersects with the science of goal accomplishment. And honestly, you cannot talk about setting and achieving goals without first looking at this brand new science of positive psychology, which is really the study of flourishing when people are at their best. And most people are not flourishing, so it's very important. But we talked about how important it is to build on your strengths and to identify what's good as opposed to what's broken and the weakness. And when you are in this flourishing place, it's been found that it is predictive of all success in life across all categories, all categories. There's no category excluded from this. So you want to be in a flourishing place before you even go about setting and achieving goals. And you want to work to change your behavior, your friendships, the petri dish that you live and work in that really has a massive impact on whether or not you're going to be successful. So we've talked about self-regulation, you know, the whole, you know, Alice in Wonderland thing, all of one and all must have prizes. It drives me crazy because that's not the way the world is. You need grit. You need resilience. That is if you're going to set hard goals. And the happiest people wake up every single day to hard goals. They just do. They've studied this. The only study of its kind was in Europe, I think 15,000 people over many, many years. And they found the happiest people wake up every day to short-term and long-term goals, with many of them being hard goals out of their comfort zone. And they also value relationships and contributing to others. We talked about, you know, why do people care about happiness? You know, we've been studying this actually for centuries. This has been a topic of many philosophers. Martin Seligman is the father of positive psychology. His new book, Flourish, lays out his new theory on the science of well-being. And basically it says in order to have a well-lived life, you need to have meaning. You have to feel like your life is meaningful. You have to have purpose. You have to wake up and not be just kind of zigzagging around with no roadmap. You need to have purpose. You need to be engaged. You need to be in a state of flow. Time needs to stand still as you go through your day and do things that you're passionate about, that your strengths help you accomplish. But then his new piece that he just added is achievement, and which I really agree with, and I've talked to him about it for years, because people don't achieve to always just win. People achieve because we need to achieve. We need at the end of the day to have done things. It's called self-determination theory. So we've talked about all of these things, and now we can go into some of the other parts that we haven't yet touched on. So
excellent, excellent. Let's go over the qualities of the happiest people.
Okay. Everyone can take this test, by the way. It's at AuthenticHappiness.org. And the test in particular that's so well validated that millions of people have now taken is called the VIA, VIA Signature Strengths. And it's a 240-question test. Give yourself 20 to 30 minutes to complete it. Many companies now use this as, you know, part of screening applicants. But it ranks your character strengths from 1 to 24. And most Americans end up with modesty and self-regulation at the absolute bottom. Not everybody, but, you know, that's pretty much the norm in this country and many other countries, although modesty is very high in Asian cultures. So there are five of these 24 qualities that tend to be seen among the happiest people. The number one quality is gratitude. The happiest people are also the most grateful. They're the ones who notice what's going well. They're the ones who thank other people. They build relationships with other people. They go out of their way to notice the small things that make life worth living. The simple act of prayer is actually an act of gratitude. So gratitude is number one. The next one is curiosity. I talked about the active constructive responder. You know, it's the only way to be with friends is they're telling you what they're interested in, their goals, and what's going well for them. You want to be curious. So curiosity also broadens your outlook on life. You actually have eyes open a little bit bigger. Cynical people, their eyes are actually a little bit narrow.
So when you say curiosity, you're also saying not criticism.
No.
Of what you're hearing. Curiosity.
Tell me more about it.
How do you feel about it?
Right.
What are your plans after that?
Right. You know, curiosity about the world, too. Learning more. Not being so boxed into an opinion or the way you think life is going to be for you that you stop dreaming. So curiosity is essential. My favorite quality in these top five is zest, because it's one of my top five. And I think it's why I overcame my eating disorder and wrote that first book 20 years ago. My name is Caroline. But zest is a quality that actually is in abundance among children. So it's usually in the top five for children. The question that is fascinating positive psychologists is it's in the bottom five for most adults. So the question has become, how do you actually intervene on people to bring this important quality up? And one of the ways is actually to be around zestful people and to bring more physical exercise into your life. Too many people are simply not attending to bringing energy and energetic people in their lives. The next one is hope. Hope, optimism, and future-mindedness. The ability to actually think things can change for you if you apply yourself, and this is where goal setting is so important. People who are actually somewhat suicidal stop setting goals. They stop being hopeful. So hope is an important one. And the last one is a very interesting one, and it's called the ability to love others and be loved back. And the reason why it's worded that way is because it's not enough to just give to people, to love them, to nurture them. You have to also be able to accept it when other people offer it to you. So it's a very interesting strength. But those are the five that, you know, when I'm working with clients, I always have them take the VIA first because I kind of scan the list. I want to see where's hope, where's zest, where's self-regulation, where's love of learning, where's curiosity, because all of those things can dictate success and goal accomplishment.
I like them. Recount them for anybody that just tuned in.
The qualities
of the happiest people. Gratitude.
Okay.
Love.
Gratitude, curiosity, hope, zest, and the ability to love others and be loved back.
Yes. It's a better extension of the old saying, you need someone to love, something to do, and
mm-hmm.
something to hope for.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way this list goes. Mm-hmm. You mentioned something about primers or primes.
Primes. Oh, okay. So, again, this is one of the unique things in my book that I don't think anyone's ever written about, and that is this: what happens around us as we are primed. Our behavior is primed, whether we know it or not, by the music we hear, by the colors on the walls, by the dress we wear, by other people's lipstick or whatever it is. And there's so many interesting studies. There's one called the Hot Coffee Study at Yale University where they found that if you briefly held a warm drink as you went into a testing room as opposed to a cold drink, you actually rated other people's faces as happier. You wanted to get to know them. You hold a cold drink, you actually assume people aren't going to be friendly. So it's a very subtle thing. Marketers know it really, really well. This is why, for example, all watches are set to 10 after 10. It's a smile. Because when the mirror neurons fire in your brain and you smile, you actually are more inclined to want that thing. Isn't that interesting?
Fascinating.
But so one of the things I suggest in the book is to take control of the primes in your life. Notice how negative is the news that you listen to. What are the words in the songs you're listening to? Boy, there's a whole interesting field of research on the words in these songs and what they're doing to people. There's even sad music, like Wagner makes people sad. And happy, peppy music actually brings people up. Music is a great intervention. So one of the things I suggest in the book is to see what's going on in your environment, but then change deliberately some of the primes that you will encounter every day, and you know it. And so I suggested changing your bank password or any password you have on the computer and make it a goal or make it a quality that you want to emulate or get better at. And the same thing for your license plate. I have a vanity license plate so it says, "We have fun." And I was really kind of surprised. No one had taken it. I just assumed, you know, everyone would want "We have fun." But every time I look at my car, and when other people look at my car, they smile. It's a little way to bring another one. Get over that tipping point. I look at my happy little car, bright yellow. I bought it because of the color. And it's an FJ Cruiser. And it's a happy little car. It has a happy little license plate. But I know the science. This is why all of my nails are painted different colors, because it makes me a little bit quirky, and it's also a little Rorschach test when people, you know, go, "Oh, I love your nails, but I could never do that." I'll say, "Really, why?" You know, "Oh, I don't know, I just couldn't." And then I end up having this discussion with people about risk-taking. You know, "Could you do it for an hour?" "Well, maybe I could do it for an hour." But it's a very interesting way to begin to discuss goal-setting and risk-taking. Also, the other thing I've noticed is it makes other people smile. When they see it, they notice it, they smile. I tried to go back to, like, oh, gosh, like red or pink or something very normal that everyone else does, French manicure, and I was at Staples paying for something. And this woman looked up and she said, "What happened to the nails? Where'd they go?" And I looked at her, I said, "You remember me?" And she said, "Well, how could I not? Nobody does that." So I found that you can inject happiness, not just into your own life, but to other people's lives. But be attentive to the primes in your life. Take control of them and know what they are and how to maximize the power over you. And the chapter in my book has so much more research and a guide to how to do this.
Well, Caroline, we've covered a lot, and we're unfortunately getting near the end of the show. You also emphasize the whole lifestyle, the exercise, good diet, wholesome foods. We talk about this on the show. The positivity is reflected in nurturing your body. I always talk about supplements. For age, stage, and gender, some omega-3, probiotics, some basic things that fuel your body well, that helps you improve your lifestyle. So, again, reminders for people, this is Creating Your Best Life, and you can find this book on creatingyourbestlifelist.com by Caroline Adams Miller. And thank you for being on the show.
Oh, this was fun. Thank you.
We will do this again. And listeners, I want to thank you for joining us on the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM. You can access this show or any previous show through MyVillageGreen.com. That's MyVillageGreen.com. Please remember, it's not the number of breaths you take. It's the moments that take your breath away. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health and a breathtaking day.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on WFED at 10 a.m. Join me this week for my special guest, Ruth Ann Clark, Senior Market Director with Wells Fargo Bank, Commercial Banking Sector. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the D.C. metro area. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
WFED Washington, WWFE Frederick, WWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. CNN Radio, I'm Cheryl Castro. Former Vice President Dick Cheney says President Obama needs to correct something he said 2 years ago.